show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video. Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama.
Technorama for March 24th, 2010. Yeah, you're funny, Craig. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. And that us means both voices in my head. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi. And with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm fine and living large. I'm happy spring's here.
Spring was here and then it left. We had it for like 4 days.
Promptly.
The 4 days
promptly.
I was in Florida and they were having record cold winter. It was lovely.
You took it down there.
I gotta remind you that this is episode 0x101. That would be Morse code for 101, by the way.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
Yeah, you like that? We got a couple others coming up throughout the show.
Well, it kind of rang a bell, but I wasn't sure, you know. It's kind of
so is Quasimodo, but we don't have him on the show.
She gave me water. Esmeralda gave me water. You know. Go ahead.
Wow. You are cultured like yogurt, man. Normally, we'd have an ad space here, but since we don't have an ad campaign running right now, you go right into this. Coming up in this episode of Technorama, we've got a cardboard record player. That'll be interesting. NASA movie posters, even more interesting. And Google Street View catches a superhero kegger in action. All that more coming up right after this.
No, this.
How to continue a television series after a major actor has left the cast.
Part 3, The Doctor Who Method.
Give the character the ability to completely alter his appearance and thus be played by any available actor.
This also lets the character evolve into suitable form for any given audience.
For more about British science fiction television, listen to the British Invaders podcast.
www.britishinvaders.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Pamela Gay, and you are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
All right, welcome back. It's time for that fun part of the show where we go into the chat room.
I'm going in.
And we figure out what they are up to, because they like to change handles on us every week. And we get to guess the theme. In the chat room, why don't I see... It says there's 15 people in here, but I don't see 15 people. Do I need to make...
There's 15 members in there, but that includes me and you.
Oh, and all the channel server and stuff. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, well, you
got
to recognize him as well.
Okay, we got Gru, we got Step K, we got me, we've got... A.D. Dr. Durandy Durand. The Bad News Robot appears to have come back. We haven't heard from him in a while. Ben Vaughn, Claudio M. is what,
I've got
asleep?
Bad news for you.
This is the Bad News Robot. I have bad news. Claudio M. is not available. Captain Rootbeer, Deb Drupp, Dr. Strange Marv, Dr. Moreau Frame, Nightstar Pedro, and Tim Elliott. Hey, Pedro! How goes it?
Will you build me a cake?
I know who Pedro is. He gave his handle away. I didn't see it change earlier.
So, what is the theme in the chat room?
I was thinking it was James Bond villains, but or James Bond movies.
Well, A.D. Durant, Dr. Duran Duran, I kept thinking of, you know, 80s bands, but that didn't quite fit.
Yeah, and I don't think Pedro ever went up against James
Pedro,
Bond.
That was that little known band from the 80s.
No, no. I haven't figured it out. When we do, we'll let you know. So I'm going to flip over here to the birthday calendar.
Oh, are you carrying it in your pocket?
That's right.
Okay.
It's old school. Everything on Technorama. You never know if it's going to be high tech or low tech. We have March 25th is Nick St. Gabriel. Woo! March 26th, someone put my name on the calendar.
Oh, yeah.
And just like, you know, I got to remind you every year that March 26th is also Leonard Nimoy. He told me that.
Why don't you put him in the listener calendar?
March 26th is also Harrison. No, I'm going to get this wrong. Lasada. Which he's in Mico, suburb of San Antonio.
What was that they were singing?
Hakuna Matata? Hakuna Kalata?
That's what I was thinking of when you were trying to say that.
So Harrison Lakata?
Yeah.
March 26th seems to be the awesome day of the year because it's also Brenna Baird in Hampton, Virginia's birthday. So, woohoo! We got a whole, Quatlu full of them.
Yeah, there's three.
Four if you count Nimoy.
Well, I'm sorry, four. So,
Spock!
Khan!
I just like the way he does that.
Spock!
I was watching Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs, and there's a thing in there that sounds an awful lot like the jellyfish. The sound effect went, and I went, well, that sounded like Spock's ship just went by.
I think I did remember that, yeah.
It's such a unique sound that it's hard to miss.
It was a unique sound. Maybe they did place it in there for that reason.
If you want to get on the Technorama birthday calendar, here's the piece of paper. Come on over to my house and put your name on it. No, you can go to Technorama's website, chuckchat.com/wiki, and that will take you there. It's open to the public. Put your name on there. When your birthday comes around at the appropriate time of year, we'll give a shout out to you and all the other famous people that happen to be on your birthday as well. So if it's not your birthday, I mean, if it is your birthday and you're not on the calendar, happy birthday to you anyway. We wish you all the best this day, this week, this year. Go forth.
It's not your birthday.
Be happy. It's not my birthday. What's next? We don't have any news. I can't play the news thing. But we do have
Hacks and Strange Stories. I'm going to come up with a jingle for Hacks and Strange Stories.
Well, that ought to be entertaining. It has to go along with our graphic on the screen, though. Hacks and Strange Stories! Oh, yeah. That
big red shoes that look like motorcycles. I'm so making that our album art this week.
First up in the Hacks and Strange Stories. Whoa. Yikes. Like that.
What's
image
that?
That image you put on the screen there, dude. You gotta, you know, remember to put these things G-rated or something.
Well, it's G-rated. She's got a shirt on.
Now, Microsoft SenseCam review. Gizmodo did a review of the SenseCam, which kind of hangs around your neck like one of those security badges.
And judging from that picture, I think Sense is like a euphemism or something.
That's so when she takes pictures of you, you'll be looking right at the camera. Now, what this is, the idea is that it will take a picture every 5 seconds, or you can set it to sense the changes in light so it knows if you went from one room to another, or motion, and sort of capture your life and put it on Twitter or whatever you want. Wasn't this popular a couple of years ago, and this thing just went, no, we're not going to do it? Somebody even came out with a keychain version for their cat.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this a long time ago about Microsoft was actually talking about this a long time ago and talking about how much space it would take to store all these pictures. And at the time, it was a little prohibitive. Now, apparently, you can.
Well, they store like 30,000 pictures, but they're all 640 by 480, so they're real tiny.
Yeah, and see, well, you know, you can get those little keychains that store small pictures all day long. So,
well, if you can put in, so it's got an internal 1 gig SD card. Why didn't they just make an SD slot and you could put a 16 gig card in there if you wanted?
I guess you didn't want your memory to fall out.
You could put in one of those. You could put in an iFi card and send it automatically.
Yeah. Hey, it's a good thing Tiger Woods doesn't have one of these.
Yeah, looking at the pictures down below, it's got her like ordering coffee at the coffee shop.
Well, the first room, that first Blackberry. Picture looks like a hotel room. That's what I'm thinking.
Not a good idea.
Tiger Woods, Jesse James, and Sandra Bullock, you know, he's got his pictures by accident on a Sense cam.
Wow, you are just all kinds of current events, aren't you?
Yeah. That's me, man. I'm on top of everything.
All right, the next one we've got up here is a couple of things. Where was this? Liverpool and Edinburgh.
Yeah.
They have these very large display boards for the public to read. I don't know. What are they, like traffic things? Or it looks like they're on their high street.
It just looks almost like a sign that says BBS on it, or BBC, rather. Excuse me, BBS.
Well, but they have an ad for RBS, too, but I don't think the Royal Bank of Scotland is up there. So,
yeah. But I think this is like just a big display board out in the middle of the
Okay,
street.
So it could be used for ad campaigns. It could be used for televising specials, whatever. Well, yeah. Somewhere they have a camera up on the building looking down on the pedestrians that are walking around. And all of a sudden you see this, one of them, this hand comes out and goes, gooch, 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 and starts tickling the people or picking them up in a graphic sense and hauling them away like they're little toys. And the people walking by are like, whoa, there's a hand behind me.
Yeah.
And another one is kind of cool. You hold up these little signs that have barcodes on them, and the camera tracks the barcode and puts this little avatar thing on your head. So instead of your normal face, you've got this kind of jelly blob or fuzzy monster or something on your head. And then as you walk around, it will track the barcode on the sign and keep the avatar on your head. Well, a couple of people switched their signs, so they switched their heads.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, you know, this is becoming, well, I sort of say becoming popular, but when Star Trek was about to come out, they had this thing, one of their websites, you could take a picture of, what did I have a picture of? It was something off their website. I think I printed it. And when you print it and then you hold it up to your webcam, it puts a picture of the Enterprise. We talked about this on the show. It put a picture of the Enterprise. It looked like it was on over my hand. And
that's
I could turn
pretty cool.
It. Yeah, I could turn it and rotate it. And I think you can do that with the DVD. It comes with it. And you go take the DVD case and you hold it up and move it around and it'll track it, which is really cool.
Looks like a lot of fun, and this is just a good creative way to do artful projects with high-tech stuff. I mean, I think that's what it was. It was somebody's art project, a way to introduce this into...
Or just another way to put silly heads on people.
And pluck them off the street and throw them in a dumpster. Yeah. A safe way. A safe, legal way to do it.
That's right.
Our third story up. Oh, the cardboard record player.
Yes. This is so simple. I totally wanted to make one of my own, and you could, you know, really. But it was a marketing campaign, and they sent out this cardboard, looked like it was folded over, little cardboard not flyer, but
yeah, mailer.
Yeah, and it had a 45 in it. Well, when you fold it out, take the 45 out and fold it as the instructions say, which is really just one way over. You end up with this record player, but you got to do it by hand. But still, it amplifies the sound. I thought this was really creative.
There's a little needle or stylus on the edge of the cardboard that rides in the grooves of the record. And you push it around with your pencil. It tells you which way to go. You could do some scratching on it, or you could play the record or the song. And the cardboard itself acts as the speaker because it just resonates through the whole thing, being picked up by that little stylus. So it's you're right. It's so dirt simple that I think I should make one of these myself.
Well, I made one with a long time ago, you know, in school with a paper cone and a needle. You ever done that?
No. I'm trying to.
What I did was I put the record down and I put it on a player so it would just be at the right speed, and I played it. But instead of putting the arm down, what I did was I took a paper cone with a needle, kind of weave the needle through the paper, you know. So it's sticking in there, and then when you stick it on there, it'll amplify the vibrations through the cone.
I'm going.
It's just how the Victrola thing works.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. I've got enough spare needles on the Victrola that I could probably throw one of these together in a few seconds.
Sure.
I've got some 33s. I'm trying to think of how many 45s left. You know, I actually have one of those little plastic inserts to make a 45 fit on the narrow spindle.
Do you really?
It's on my desk at work. Like a little I have no
S,
clue where
S,
I
little
got
S pattern thing.
No. This one's a solid circle. I have no idea where I got it from. But it's just one of those things I fiddle with on my desk at work.
Aliens abducted you, violated your body, brought you home, and left you with nothing but just a
left me in a crop
insert.
Circle, and all I have was this little 45 record thing to prove it.
Yeah. So actually makes me kind of miss records, man, a little bit.
Oh, it's so sweet.
I'm pining.
All right, we're going to get into the, what do you got next? Remember When, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember when.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
Remember when you had to play your records on a cardboard thing?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I was thinking it was I hear that music. It's like, speaking of Victrolas and old crummy audio.
Yeah.
All right, what have you got for me?
Well, over at Gizmodo, they were paying tribute to the daddy of the modern hard drives, which they labeled, or they put up as the ST-506.
From Seagate, yes.
Yeah, from Seagate. It was one of the first 5 1/4 drives. It only held 5 meg.
Ooh.
Which, you know, at one point we had floppies that were, well, floppies would only 4 of them would match this.
You could back up your whole hard drive on 4 floppies. Well, no, when the 506 came out, the 1.2 meg floppies weren't out yet.
So. No, that's true. That's true. But then they were talking about that was one of the first mass-produced hard drives for, you know, I guess the business market. I sort of say consumer, more like business, I guess.
Well, it kind of standardized the interface, too, because it was referred to as the ST-506 interface.
Could you imagine, with all the hard drive manufacturers that we've had over the years, if there was not a standard?
Dude, there were so many different standards, it's not funny.
Well, when I'm thinking like... you know, the MFM, the ID, ATA, that type of stuff.
ESDI, I'm thinking, SCSI.
Yeah. Well, I know there's a lot of different interfaces. I'm saying that if there wasn't a large
Oh, you mean
standard,
if you had to load like a hard drive driver, like printer drivers?
Or even have different controller and cable for each manufacturer. That'd be ridiculous.
Well, they'd have to sell you like the old days. When you got the ST-506, you have to have a hard drive controller card put in your machine.
Yes, I've installed plenty of cards. I can tell you, I'll tell you that.
Oh, routing those ribbon cables. Such fun.
And my favorite hack, and I've talked about this before, was when MFM and RLL were out. You know, RLL was just the
It was a different
compression.
Way. Yeah, it kind of. It was a different
It was just
encoding
essentially
mechanism.
Compression.
Yeah.
You could take an MFM drive and not quite double the
It was like 50%. You could take a 20 up to a 30 mm-hmm. meg.
Yeah. It was. People were, wow, I got more space. Yeah, I just buy this $20 controller.
This one inspired me to go look at a website, and I started looking up old hard drives, and I was trying to remember what the common one was, the Seagate really common hard drive was that we kept using. It was the ST-225. That was
the 40 gig.
20 meg.
I'm sorry, the 20. I'm sorry, that one and the 40 gig number escapes me now. Wow.
Well, the 80 was the ST-4096, and I had one of those. That thing shook so much when the heads went back and forth. It was a full height. It would, like, move your whole desk.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That
yes.
stepper motor had torque on it.
Yeah, I remember setting up a machine with two.
Yep.
With two of them in there.
Two full
oh,
height.
Boy.
5 1/4 inch drives. Yeah, the ST-225, I think, was one of the most popular selling hard drives of all time. And... did you ever come up with, like, nicknames for your hard drives? You know, you didn't call them Mini Scribe. We called them Mini Scrape because they always crashed
no, really
and made whining
I
noises.
Should have.
Yeah. You know, those old hard drives would start really screaming. But a lot of the technology that was in the ST-506 is still very recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Good stuff. If you want to find out more, visit the show notes. It's all there.
I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. Why can't I remember the 40 gig Seagate that was besides the 20 once they moved up? The 40 gig.
231?
Was it the
251? 251.
251, yes. Thank you. Good Lord, Craig. Yeah, it's like I've touched a million of those things. Why can I not remember it? Yes, the ST-251. That one was probably the most popular up until the 80 gigs started coming out. Yeah, those 80 gigs, they were like, those weren't five, they were 5 1/4 in the sense of the form factor, but they were twice as high.
The chat room's calling me out. I think I said Step K Motors.
Step K Motor.
Stepper Motor.
Yeah.
That's how Craig gets from the bathroom to the bedroom. Yes.
I'm a stepper motor.
All right. Next up, we're going to take a quick break and be right back with the Media Corner, correct?
Correcto.
All right. Let me get these clips in the right order and then we'll launch. 3, 2, 1. Dean the Comedian.
Dean the Comedian. Yeah. Well, you know, I guess I can't really do that much computer hacking. Got me somebody short and Weasley.
Talk about the X-Files.
Oh, well, the scary. It's still scary. Scared. If you can imagine that.
That's way too out there.
That's what all your staff thinks of you.
I am not kidding.
Invented a laptop cooling system called the Chill Pack.
Why didn't I think of that?
Chill Coolie, Chili Pack, Chill Coolie, Hottie Pack. How many variations?
It's tech. I'm drooling.
Tech. Exactly. Right. I laugh at your age too. The power of my age 4 will crush your age 2.
Well, see, I'm not compensating for anything.
This interview's over. Cool. There's now silence.
Warning, the Imperial Command has detected unauthorized or incorrect facts in the podcast called Technorama. If you detect information that needs correction or you want to have your say, call them on the listener line at 206-222-2428. Here's a nickel. Call someone who gives a shit.
This is Terry Dawson from the Appleton Public Library, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
No, Wormstrom, I'll get you.
First up in the Media Corner. What?
Oh, by the way, hey, can you look at my webcam?
Is it legal?
Yeah, sure it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I turned to my left or my right, and I was looking over, and I was like, "Wait, there's some Molex connectors right there."
Oh, you found some?
They're right. They were actually sitting beside me the whole time.
There you go.
They're like the mini version of the power connector, you know?
Yeah. They kind of fit on the back of like the 3.5-inch floppy drives.
Yeah. Oh, that one's got 3 connectors. Yeah. So there you go.
Very nice. Very nice.
That was my show and tell. Okay, move along.
Couple of things in the Media Corner. First up, we have Take It.
Sorry, I'm trying to. Oh, maybe I should look at the show notes. This is a hacked up trailer. What if Pixar made the Terminator? Which actually, it kind of works if you watch it. They have some sound bites from Wally and various other things. It's pretty funny. To see it, but yeah, you have to go check this out.
It actually takes it from all 3 Terminator movies.
Yeah,
and then they throw in some Governator movies or sound bites from that. So
yeah,
total mashup, a lot of fun.
Yeah, I just like the intro where the guy's like 700 years, and you're ding 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 ding,
and he's got to clean up humanity's problems or garbage or something.
What was funny is the Terminator's, you know, there's that scene where he's analyzing the guy smiling on the phone and he looks back and tries
yeah,
to
and he tries to smile, and then the next thing you know, he's Governor.
That's usually how it works here in the States.
Right. You smile, you win.
Yeah. That was hilarious.
All right. Those of you who know about the Telegraph in the UK know what a reliable news source, heavy sarcasm there, it is. And they had a typo. What is it? This past week? They didn't spell Hadron Collider quite right. And we found out that the Large Hadron Collider breaks the energy record. That's right. Technorama, we're all about the news, and we've quoted the Wall Street Journal in the past, now we're quoting the Telegraph.
Yeah.
That's what you get when we don't have a sponsor.
Yeah, you always get collided.
Our news sources deteriorate.
When you have a sponsor, never mind.
Yeah.
That's funny.
A lot of fun.
Well, they are smashing things together.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of energy to do that.
Okay, let's move along.
Finally, we have from Gizmodo once again that they explain how data dies and how it can be saved. And they really boil it down to three things. One, the format changes of the media that you had, or the software has changed, or the media it was on is deteriorated or destroyed in some way, like hard drive crash or backup tape rot or whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, make sure that whenever you back up those precious photographs or pirated songs or whatever you have that you want to keep for all eternity, when you do back it up, you back it up to multiple types of media, not just multiple times on the same media.
Well, I'll be honest with you, man, this has been kind of a fear for me because, you know, I've got a bunch of photographs that I think are valuable, at least to me, not just for family stuff, but my personal ones that I've taken for art, if you want to say. So,
but it seems like every time you get a computer, it's got a bigger hard drive, so you just take the old information every couple of years and put it onto the next generation of equipment, right?
Yeah, and it should be fine. But I'm just saying, you know, at what point do you have so much data that it precludes you from trying to copy it around? You know, it's so big.
Well, back it up incrementally. I mean, every year I take a couple of DVDs and back up my images. I just say, okay, here's my 2009 pictures and make 2009.1.2.3 DVDs and say, there they are, the raw images. Should my hard drive ever crash, at least I have them on DVD. And in about 5 more years, when we start getting 2 terabyte drives in every new laptop, I'll say, okay, load them all on there, and then I'll back them up to something else later. But you're right. It does become ineffective to try and back them up into the cloud or you know, where's your time and cost thing really start to work out so that it does become a good way, a good effective time managed way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And now I'm also thinking, okay, well, I've considered using Amazon S3 to back up all my photos too, you know, but one, got to make sure Amazon's going to be there for here and forever. And two, what if you do want to make a backup of these things and have them bring them down?
Yeah.
Or how big, you know, once you rely on a service like that and you make a big investment in a large bunch of data, you know, what if it's 100 gigs at some point? How do I download that? What am I, you know?
Well, I guess the best way, or a good way, I shouldn't say the best way, a good way would be to buy your own personal, you know, RAID-based system. So if you did have a hard drive failure, your whole system's not toast.
But that's where this Drobo comes in, you know. Have you seen the Drobo?
No.
Oh, well, the Drobo is a unit that you buy the unit. It doesn't have any hard drives in it, and I think it takes... You put 4 drives in it, and you get the capacity of the largest one. I take it back. The largest one is used as a parity. So the other 3 are your data. So if one goes out, you just buy off the shelf hard drives and throw it in there, and live and everything, you don't have to turn it off. You just pop it in there, and away you go. Victor's got one. I'm trying to think who else. You know, a lot of photographers have been using it. So, yeah, you just buy off-the-shelf drives. But then again, it's kind of an investment because you have to buy the unit and then the drive separately.
Marv is saying there's about a 10 to 20% or 20 to 30% cost to doing that in storage. Mm-hmm. He says you get the combined disk total. So if you bought like five 1 terabyte drives, you'd wind up getting about 4 terabytes of storage.
Okay. Maybe it was the first gen or whatever I was thinking of, but I remember them. I thought they said that you get the largest drive as your like parity drive, but you can go to, you know, whenever there's a sale at Best Buy, you just grab, buy a new drive, stick it in there, and it syncs it up.
Hey, I got a real quick What the Chuck. Remember I went to the, it's not really a What the Chuck. I just needed to put the summer in the show. Remember I went to the first robotics competition? I've got a little bit of audio of that to share with you. First, sure. I have another 101 here. Did you get that?
Thanks, R2.
All right. This is real short. It's only like a minute and a half long. So we'll be right back after this quick visit to the first competition that happened in Milwaukee a couple weekends ago.
Sweet. All right.
What's your name?
I'm James.
Jim?
James.
James. How are you doing, James? I'm Chuck.
I'm
and you're from team?
2530.
And what's your robot's name?
Our robot's name is Tweak.
Tweak?
Yes.
Now, what's with the shirt here? That's interesting.
Well, it's inconceivable, so you can't read it, but it's actually, that's what it spells out. A whole bunch of funny letters.
That's right, because square root of minus one is I. I gotcha. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Now, what's your strategy today?
Our strategy today is aggressive defense.
Aggressive defense. What? We're in the qualifying rounds. What happened there?
During the qualifying rounds, we actually flipped our robot. We took about 2 or 3 pounds off the front of it.
Yep.
And we're running short tank, so it's narrow. I just hit forward right away, and it just flipped the thing. And that's because we just have so much torque because it's instant. We have these custom-made gearboxes, and so we have no slack from chain. Originally, these involved using a Gearbox Nano sold by Animark, but they were sold out, so we decided that we were going to make our own.
What are you changing around for the second qualifying round?
We threw about 10 pounds on the front of it. This way there's no chance we're going to do it again. This 10 pounds involved a couple steel bars and a hammer we found, and they're zip tied on.
A hammer?
Yes, it's hammer time.
Well, best of luck to you, James.
A hammer we found. I wanted to mention that they did not end up in one of the final alliances, but they had a really good time. They were really easy to spot because those inconceivable shirts that said, you know, square root of one, and they had all kinds of Greek symbols and math things in there. They were really easy to spot because they were bright, bright green. You could see their group from just about anywhere, whereas a lot of us kind of centered on red, so it was hard to tell the robot casserole people from the Team 93 people. But it was all a lot of fun, and I will be putting together the rest of that video, some highlights from that, the interviews we did, the robotic competitions, so you can actually see what they were talking about. That's going to go into the members feed in the next few weeks, and coming out soon. I would look for that video in April, but before the end of the month, I am looking to get the interview with Dr. Ginger Campbell from the Brain Science podcast up there. I was able to edit that on my Florida trip. So look for more great content coming in that members feed. That's available to everybody who's donating the $2 a month to that little micropayment. You can find the PayPal button right on the website at chuckchat.com/technorama. All right. Oh, nice. Wait. We have another 101.
Oh, yeah.
101.
That was like the obscene phone caller.
Yeah.
Shh, don't tell anybody I call.
My wife won't let me call Technorama during the day.
I have to use my free weekends and nights.
All right. Next up, Geek Library, right?
Yes, right.
All right. Do I?
Sorry,
still
I got a little enthusiastic.
I still have my music. Just love the music.
Yeah.
All right. A couple of things at the Geek Library. We've got NASA mission posters.
Yeah, you know how you always see a picture of all the team that's getting ready to go up in the next rocket or even the space shuttle?
Yeah.
And they're all kind of sitting there either at a desk or around a stand-up model of the
yep.
space uniform or something.
Well, they got a little creative in the last few missions.
Yes, and these are very cool. They kind of look like movie posters. Like the STS-134 looks like the Star Trek.
Or you know. BSG or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really interesting stuff.
I thought they were pretty cool.
STS.
And it turns out after.
STS-131 looks kind of like Space Cowboys.
Yeah. It does, doesn't it? Well, apparently Amy Gish is one of the authors of the posters, and she wrote in to Gizmodo and said, "Hi, I'm glad you like the posters. I recently left the Johnson Space Center graphics department located out of Texas, but while I worked there, crew posters were part of the job. I created the STS-119 and the Expedition 23 posters." Mm-hmm. She says, "The bulk of the graphics department at JSC are actually contractors, and we get requests from either NASA or contractors to create different pieces. All the crew posters are requested by Space Flight Awareness and can be found on their site."
We need to do something like this for Technorama.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah. We'll have a photo shoot when we're at Dragon Con.
I'm going to take a picture of the chat room. Now, we should organize something at Dragon Con. That'd be cool.
We'll make Technorama posters.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you got that link up?
Which link? For the mission posters?
Yeah. Scroll down a little bit farther and it says there's a Star Trek poster. I think it must be a fan film or something. Somebody put in the comments.
in the comments. I'm scrolling, but when I'm on the webcam, the scroll is going mighty slow.
Yeah, it's probably about the fourth or fifth comment.
From seven. Mondo's.
Keep going just a little bit.
There it is, Expedition 21.
Yeah. Oops, so
went right off the screen. All right, next thing we got up is. Oh, is this what I think it is?
Is this link in here twice? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, this is the Google Street captures a superhero kegger.
Yeah, this is what I kind of had in mind for our first Technorama-rama.
Actually, you know what? I think this is at Dragon Con.
No, this is over in, Scotland, was it?
Yeah.
Share that with the people on the webcam.
Hey, I see Captain America and Mr. Incredible.
What is up with Captain America's thigh, man? It looks like he's got some kind of...
Charlie horse.
Yeah, a tennis racket in his back pocket or something.
Tennis racket.
And he's Mr. Incredible.
Is that your butt, or are you just happy to see me?
You know what? The guy who's dressed up as Mr. Incredible actually has the figure for it.
He does. Yes, this is funny. And then there's the Hulk. See him right in the front.
The Hulk looks like he's about to take out the policeman or whatever.
He looks
that
a little
is.
Pale.
He's a little. These aren't all superheroes, but there's a lot of them in there.
Yes, that is funny. Yeah, and the things that, you know, they show on, they find on...
Google Street View is funny.
Google Street View. Hey, the second picture down there, I see Robin talking to some guy in leather. Is that, that's not Bane, is it? Batman thing. Oh, there's Buzz Lightyear. Oh, that's kind of funny.
Who's
I'd love to see somebody as the Tick in there. Oh, wait. No, that's Captain America.
There's like a giant white mouse sitting on the quarter barrel. Yeah, or half barrel.
He's in charge of the beer.
And then just for fun, they threw in one extra one down below of a seagull with a fish stick flying right at the Google camera. There's something you don't see every day.
It looks like a cartoon. You know what they reminded me of? It's like in Nemo.
Mine? You know, mine? Mine?
Well, I was thinking of the seagull, you know, kind of. But what's funny is, look, they must have been two pictures because, look, his wings kind of clipped.
Oh, you think maybe it was doctored?
No, you've seen pictures like that on Google Sitemap,
okay.
You know, where it's they try to meld two pictures together and it looks funny.
I got you.
So, anyway.
101.
Oop, that was a little quiet. Let's try that one again.
101.
Dang you.
Kind of slipped in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we can levelate that one back to normal. I got a longer one.
This is Stephen Weshey from St. Louis, Missouri. You're listening to Technorama 101.
Hey, thank you, Stephen.
Yes.
I think he's a recent listener, too.
101 to you, too, as well, sir.
Yeah, we'll put that in our best drunken superhero voice.
Yeah.
That's good.
No, I was just at a kegger.
And a seagull with a French fry got me. Let me play my 45 on my box top computer. Hey, that's going to take it to the end of Technorama.
Hey, hey,
we appreciate like, yeah.
Hello, welcome to Technorama.
Yes, but if you're for the upgrade, to be it the other way.
Welcome to Technorama.
Anyway, I'm having fun.
Houston, we have a problem.
And that, like I said twice before, that takes us to the end of the show. If you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us on the listener line. You can call that number, as we've mentioned a couple times already, 206-222-2428. We'd love to hear from you. The show, there wouldn't be much of a network show if we didn't hear from you. You can do that via the phone, but via Skype.
Wait a minute.
What?
Yes. Nothing?
Or email technorama@chuckchat.com. You can find us on Twitter, too. We do capture some of those, the ones that are really good or stand out in our minds. C. Tomasi, Step K, or Technorama, which...
Hey.
Yes?
I do want to put out the challenge. If you have not called our listener line before, do so.
Oh, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. I want to hear from some new listeners. Not that I don't love our...
Regulars.
And yeah, but please, I want to hear from some new blood. Bring it in. Huddle, huddle.
Good point. We'd love to hear from you. You can also visit us at the website, find out all this information and more. What is it, under the Support Us tab at truckchat.com/technorama? And I mentioned the members feed, donation in the tip jar, monthly micropayments, $2 a month, really helps us out, especially no sponsor right now. And you get content back.
Here.
You get extra content that nobody else is getting. Just a select few. The few, the proud, the Technorama army.
Nodes,
thank you. The few, the proud, the nodes.
Yeah, go order one of those shirts that says I'm a node.
We got to get some of those and bring them to Dragon Con.
I know, I need to order one.
I wish I had the time and money to go to Balticon, too. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It does.
I've just got too many trips in March, April, and June to stick one in May, too. I wouldn't be very productive at work or at home.
Well, and as opposed to... I'm kidding.
Real quick reminder that we do still have our survey going on. That's going to be going on probably indefinitely for a good long time. And you can find that by clicking on the survey link on the website as well. Special thanks to the following people for keeping Technorama going. Mad Marv for all the great blog content he provides. Ustream, who has our modest live streams going. If you happen to be around Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, we'd love to see you there. Go to the website, chuckchat.com/technorama. You'll find us right on the main page. They also store the video for later viewing, which we will embed into the webpage that you can see any old time you like. Chat room is provided by thinstack.net. Special thanks to Steve Rickenberg and the crew over there. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. Also affiliated with all of the great podcasts over at Farpoint Media, who also do our show's storage. That's it for this time. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, a binary high five.
101. And not just because it's the show 101.
Bye.
Bye.
Yes, that was the end of the Partridge Family.